Hey, it's Jamie Scrimger. When I became a stepmom, I quickly realized that while moms are encouraged to keep it real, there's a big double standard when it comes to stepmoms. So I decided to start the conversation myself. Thriving as a stepmom doesn't just come from conversations about being a stepmom, though. Here, we dive into marriage, relationships, personal growth, and more. My mission? Inspire you to live a kick-ass life while bringing you along as I create my own. This is the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Let's talk about gaslighting, guys. Gaslighting. First, I kind of have to tell you a funny story, though. I don't know if it's funny or not. Inappropriate. I don't know. Not inappropriate. I don't know. I got to tell you a story. So about a month ago, Darren and I were, we were kind of having a heated conversation, if you will. And I was trying to tell him how I was feeling about something in our stepfamily life. And he was, just not as receptive as I would have liked him to be about my opinion and my experience. And his response to it, he was gaslighting me. And I told him that. I'm like, you're gaslighting me right now. And he said to me, he's like, you are just saying gaslighting because it is this new buzzword on Instagram. I've never heard you say that before. And now you're just saying it because that's what everyone's talking about online. And there's part of me that was like, okay, fair enough, valid. You may have a point here. And we kind of laughed and it did open up a good conversation about how he was actually technically gaslighting me without really knowing it. And it did really lighten the mood. But yeah, I think it's really interesting when things become like mainstream conversation on Instagram, you know, words like gaslighting and boundaries and narcissists and all those things. Everyone is so quick to use them and to throw out these labels. And often they're very serious, and then they're being thrown out in situations that maybe aren't as serious. They're just like heavy words. Anyway, started this whole conversation, so just kind of something to think about. But today's conversation is serious. It is about gaslighting, and gaslighting is a serious thing, especially in high conflict relationships and abusive relationships and when there's, you know, differences in power and all of that. A while back, I had Robin Stern, Dr. Robin Stern, inside Kick-Ass Stepmom for an exclusive interview on gaslighting, because in 2007, she actually coined the term gaslight effect to explain the long-term effects that repeated gaslighting can have in relationships. So gaslighting is a form of emotional abuse in which the gaslighter undermines and controls another person by basically testing and denying the reality. So it can happen in romantic relationships, between family members, at work, but basically it leaves you constantly second guessing yourself and almost like unable to make decisions and questioning your experience and if it's valid, kind of make you feel kind of crazy. So Robin is the author of the Gaslight Effect Recovery Guide, which is so good. It's such a great tool and I recommend checking it out because it teaches you how to pull yourself out of this destructive dynamic. But in this interview, we really talk about the different types of gaslighters, the behaviors that can sometimes lead to gaslighting, how you can redirect when you feel like you're being gaslit, conversation starters. We talk about stepfamily experiences and just so much more. So this episode really is a glimpse of some of the great content that is happening inside Kick-Ass Stepmom. If you're interested in joining, if you are looking for more exclusive interviews, you want to listen in on coaching calls I have with other stepmoms and get access to my workshops and all the other great resources inside there, be sure to check it out at www.kickassstepmom.com. We're now also available in the App Store, which is really exciting. So check it out if you want more. But either way, I hope you enjoy this episode. Can't wait to hear what you think. Let's dive in. Welcome, Dr. Stern. I am so excited to have this conversation.
Thank you, Jamie. And please call me Robin.
I think the best place to start is if you could give us a little bit of an intro into your work, who you are, what you do, and then we're going to dive into all things gaslighting.
Okay, great. So I'm Robin Stern, and I am the co-founder and senior advisor to the director of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence. And I'm a psychoanalyst in private practice as a therapist for 3 decades. And I work a lot with women and a lot with families. And especially during times of crisis, I work with many members of a family at the same time, and including gaslighting kinds of crises where people are having trouble separating out what they think is going on, from what other members think is going on, from what may be going on in an objective way, if there is possible objective ways in family systems. I got involved in working with women through a leadership institute that I was involved in and actually was also a co-founder of at that time. And it was a leadership institute that helped women to learn the skills they needed to launch their lives in their 20s and 30s, and finding that women often had dreams that were bigger, that outstripped their skill set. Mm-hmm. So we were dedicated to doing that. And then through that process, more and more women came into my office, and more women complained and shared with great pain about how they were feeling strong and confident in their business lives, strong and confident and were good decision makers in their friendship lives, but in their romantic relationships and sometimes with their family, they felt less than. They felt unsure of their own ground. And that reality that I was seeing in my practice weekly, daily, weekly, was then the catalyst for my starting to think about what's the dynamic that's going on with these intimate relationships or these familial relationships. And is it in fact the same dynamic that I saw many years ago in the Gaslight movie? So there is a movie you may know, a listening audience may know, called Gaslight, and it stars wonderful actors from long ago, Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman. Charles Boyer playing a diabolical man who is trying to gaslight his adoring, naive wife into believing that she's crazy. And he does so by insisting and telling her over and over that she is tired and sick and forgetful. And in the meantime, the audience, the viewing audience, knows that he's moving objects in the house, that he's lying to her, that he's intentionally giving her things and then stealing them back so that she would think that she forgot them or lost them. And most of the gaslighting I was seeing in my private practice was not quite as diabolical. In the movie, the character Charles Boyer played was someone who was trying to steal the jewels of his adoring wife. And the jewels were hidden in the attic. So he had to make her think she was crazy so he would have free reign of the house, etc. Most of the time, it's not quite, as I said, that diabolical, although at its extreme, gaslighting can really be soul-destroying. Mm-hmm. So I became very interested, began interviewing people about it, and eventually in 2007 wrote a book called The Gaslight Effect, which gained a lot of popularity in the run-up to the election in 2016. And the book was then re-released again. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, is very popular right now, so much so that the word gaslighting was word of the year in 2022.
Yeah. And you hear, you know, there's a lot of content online about gaslighting and memes and all the things. Can you explain exactly what gaslighting is?
I can. Yes, of course. So gaslighting is a kind of psychological manipulation that is repeated over time and occurs in a relationship where there's a power dynamic. So those two things are pretty important and set it apart from, for example, a disagreement or just straight up bullying or straight up manipulation. So it's repeated over time and there's a power dynamic. And in the gaslighting dynamic, the more powerful person is attempting to sow seeds of doubt in the target of gaslighting such that the target begins to question his or her or their own sense of reality, their own perception, their own judgment. And ultimately, if it goes on for long enough and is intense enough, question their own sanity.
Mm-hmm. And how does this show up for women in family dynamics or maybe conflict within their home?
Well, in a lot of different ways. First of all, I would say that if you have had gaslighting or you're experiencing gaslighting as a child, you're more vulnerable to experiencing gaslighting as an adult, unless there's some kind of intervention in between so that you maybe go to therapy and your therapist alerts you to the fact, name it to tame it, this is gaslighting, this is how you can deal with it. And you begin to be mindful and you look for it. But otherwise, you've seen it in your childhood. You have that tape of uncertainty or that vulnerability to uncertainty in your mind. You grow up, you connect with someone who again, is a gaslighter. And maybe not, as I said, a diabolical gaslighter, but says, you know, you are forgetful. You know that about yourself. Oh my God, you're so sensitive. And uses that, oh my God, you're so sensitive, anytime he doesn't want to answer a question, anytime he wants to avoid responsibility. And because you've lived it, it doesn't set off alarm bells for you. In fact, it feels quite familiar because you're used to, unfortunately, and many people are used to, accommodating to the more powerful person, especially when the more powerful person is their parent or is a trusted family member. Because after all, why would somebody who loves you and cares for you and cares about you, why would they try to twist your reality? Why would they tell you something that isn't true? Mm-hmm. And so in families, it can be very painful, more painful many times than if it's happening in an outside relationship, because why is this person who loves you trying to tell you that there's something wrong with you, or not trying, telling you that there's something wrong with you, and over again? Mm-hmm.
I think this would really resonate with a lot of the stepmoms who are listening to this, because they're going to their partners and they're saying, this is how they're feeling. This is their experience. This is what's happening in the home. Mm-hmm. And many times they report to me that they end up leaving these conversations feeling like they've done something wrong, or they're overreacting, or their experience isn't true.
Sure. Or can't you just let it ride? Can't you just accommodate?
Let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's the big deal? Maybe you pushed her too far. Maybe you could be more sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Are there different types of gaslightings?
There are different types of gaslighters, mm-hmm. and there are different stages of gaslighting, and there are different ways that gaslighting shows up, and there are different levels of gaslighting also. So, for example, somebody can say to you in a moment, I never said that, when you know absolutely for certain that was said to you. Come on, that's not what happened. You're misremembering. So that person may be trying to gaslight you, maybe a gaslighting attempt. But if you are grounded in your own reality and you know for sure you didn't say that, or you did say that if they're contradicting you, then you can stand there and say to yourself and to the person accusing you, respectfully, I know you feel strongly about this, but that's not the truth. Or that's not my truth. That's not the way it happened. Or that's not accurate. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have either that confidence in yourself, or they repeat it over time, and that person has some power in your life, likely down the road a bit, you're going to be saying to yourself, is it possible that I could have misremembered that? Because after all, especially for women, we're taught to accommodate. We're taught to see things from the other perspective. We're taught about empathy, which is, in fact, stand in somebody else's shoes, take on their viewpoint, see how they feel.
Yeah. Do you think that sometimes people gaslight without intending to?
Yes, I do. So first of all, I'm a mom. I have two adult children who, if they were here on this recording, would say, Mom, you know, there were times you did that to us too. You didn't mean to, but your anxiety, for instance, would lead you to say things that maybe they were gaslighting. And for sure that happens. I hear it in my practice. I hear it from friends, parents using, for example, anything they can think of, including, you don't really want to do that, including, you're not the type of kid who goes to those kind of places. I heard that story from a young person who was telling me a story about her friend whose mom inadvertently gaslit her because she didn't want her to go to a concert because the mom was afraid, right? Mm-hmm. And when that happens, if you know enough about yourself and you can stand in your reality, you can say, that's not true. And I think you're gaslighting me, if you have the word for it. And then your mom can take a step back and say, you know what? Maybe you were right. Maybe I'm saying that just because I don't want you to go. Mm-hmm. But how many times do we do it in passing such that that other conversation never happens? And the kid just walks away thinking, I don't know, maybe she's right.
If you were looking at me right now, you would think that I have a sex toy in my hands, but I don't. And while sex is also a great way to help relieve stress and manage anxiety, I'm not holding a sex toy. I'm holding Moonbird. Moonbird is a handheld breathing device designed to comfortably fit in the palm of your hand
And it's like your own personal breathing coach. So in my episode with Ashley Neese on burnout and the power of breath a few weeks back, I talked about how much intentional breathing has helped me feel more grounded and manage my anxiety. Moonbird has been a huge support in this. Right now, while you're listening to this, I want you to stop and just do some breathing. So take a deep breath in for 5 seconds. Out for 5 seconds. And do that like 5 or 6 times, even 10 times. We don't breathe enough. We don't really tap into the power of breath and how calming and grounding it can be. So Moonbird is the world's first handheld device for guided breathing exercises. So there's no need to look at an app. There's no need to count on your own. You just have to breathe. So you hold in your hands and the vibrations in this device guide your breathing. So this helps support people with insomnia or poor sleep and stress and anxiety, ADHD, autism, and burnout. So when you shake the device, it will start inflating and then deflating. So in your hand, it'll feel like you're holding this little bird that's breathing in and out. And the only thing that you need to do is breathe along with the Moonbird. So when it inflates, you breathe in. When it deflates, you breathe out. It's really simple, it's intuitive, and it takes all of the effort and thinking out of your breathing exercises. I find it so calming, and I have been trying to be more intentional with my breathing and regulating my nervous system this year, and Moonbird has been such a support. So you can use it for an afternoon breathwork session, in the morning before you start your day, or before your meditation, or when you're in bed and trying to unwind and fall asleep. You can use it basically anytime you need to stop and really focus on your breath. So to check it out, head to www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. That's www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. Incorporating breath work into your life is such a game changer. It's been a game changer for me. I've got Darren on board, teaching Reese to do the same. Seriously, breath is where it's at. That's www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. I love traveling, and I especially love to go somewhere hot during our gross Canadian winters and early spring when the weather is just yuck. But what I don't love is that bloated, puffy, gross feeling that I can get when I fly. And I like to avoid this when I'm traveling at all costs. So when I'm in the airport, I always have my 40-ounce Stanley full of water and an Element watermelon salt. Element is my go-to electrolyte drink and is a must pack when we are traveling. Not only is it a must on the airplane when we're away, it's also part of my daily routine. So first of all, extra cocktails are kind of the norm when we're away at events or on vacation. And when I'm away, fun fact, I actually work out more on vacation than I do at home. I just love hitting up the hotel gyms. The calendar is clear. I love going for hikes and just getting out there. So in all of those situations, hydration is key. So Element is basically always in my bag. Again, Element is my go-to electrolyte drink mix. I swear by it and have been drinking it daily for a couple years now. Staying hydrated is crucial and is a huge priority of mine. And proper hydration just isn't about drinking water. It means having adequate water and electrolytes. It tastes great, has no BS ingredients, no sugar, no artificial coloring, and you feel good drinking it. Formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs, from professional athletes to everyday moms, even if you're on a keto or low carb or paleo diet. And it's also approved in the metabolic balance program that I have been doing as well. A growing body of research reveals that optimal health occurs at sodium levels that are 2 to 3 times the government recommendation. That's why Element is all about more salt and not less. Each stick has 100 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. I have one every single day. My favorite flavors are raspberry and watermelon. Darren likes orange and lime. And when you purchase Element using my link, you get a free sample pack with all the flavors so you can decide which one is your fave. Head to www.drinkelement.com/kickassstepmom to get a free sample pack with purchase. That's www.drinkelement.com/kickassstepmom to get a free sample pack with purchase. Purchasing through this link is also a great way to support the show. You know, I'm curious about
if you have any experience in seeing how gaslighting shows up in any like co-parenting conflicts or dealing with a high conflict personality and things like that, because that I think is something that really resonates with our community. And I think, you know, just to kind of go back, there's a lot of stepmoms who feel like their experience is constantly being minimized. Mm-hmm. And when they, again, try to say how they're feeling about something or how they're maybe stepchildren are treating them, or maybe how the ex makes them feel to their partner, that's, you know, just again, minimized, brought down, and mm-hmm. they leave those conversations or those arguments feeling like they've done something wrong when they have clearly been disrespected. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, I think, how society has taught stepmoms to stay small and almost normalize the disrespect mm-hmm. of this form of motherhood. And it's just kind of expected, right? And I think, again, there's that power dynamic, right?
Yeah. So I'm a stepmom and I'm interested to hear what you're specifically talking about. My husband and I were married right before the pandemic. He's been married before. I've been married before. He had three children, has three children. I have two children. And there are dynamics. Mm-hmm. Not all children were necessarily happy about the union, right? And I think that that's not uncommon. Certainly, I see it in my practice, in my friend group, and people just who I've interviewed about gaslighting. It's fertile ground for gaslighting to occur. So tell me what you're thinking about, like specific examples that have come to your attention, and maybe we can unpack them.
Yeah. So let's say, for example, a stepmom comes to their partner and is talking about how maybe when they're not home, their child is disrespecting and not, you know, being polite or making like snide remarks or blatantly not listening to them. Or, you know, maybe the ex is not accepting their role or the ex is rude, things like that. And, you know, mm-hmm. you have the partner who is kind of caught in the middle, trying to keep the peace with everyone. And it's really common that, you know, either the stepchild's like, I never said that, that didn't happen, like she's crazy, you know, she's a bitch, like she's all these things, or right. even the partner saying, well, you know, you need to let this go. You need to pick your battles. That's not what they mean. They're not actually disrespecting you when they're blatantly disrespecting them. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, there's that extra layer with the step family dynamics and maybe how the pressure that the partner feels. But then again, there's so many stepmoms who feel like their experience is being minimized and they're being made out to be the bad guy when really they're just like, well, you don't have to like me, but can you just respect me, right? Can we find a way to mm-hmm. like coexist?
Yeah. So I think that some of that is gaslighting and some of it is just disrespectful and not believing. So if there's a conflict, a three-way conflict where the child is saying, oh, she's crazy, I never said that, then the dad in that situation or the other mom in that situation will carry that message back. So it's like almost gaslighting through the other person, right? Mm-hmm. So you're getting the gaslighting message and it's the person who you love who's delivering it and he's buying into it. So he's gaslighted, right? Mm-hmm. So he's living in some reality that isn't true in wanting to believe his child. But there is mm-hmm. no discomfort on his end, perhaps, because, I mean, there's the discomfort of the tension in the relationship, but he's not going through, I wonder if she's right. Often the parent will immediately believe their child. Mm-hmm. And that's where the ground for gaslighting can be very fertile, unfortunately.
Yeah. How would you recommend responding?
In a situation like that?
Yeah.
You know, I think it really depends. It depends on the strength of the relationship. It depends on how emotionally sophisticated your partner is. It depends on how insistent the child is in keeping you looking bad or in hurting you or in minimizing your role. The easiest response is, I know that that's what you're telling me happened, but it's not what happened. Yeah. Or I know that's what your daughter is telling you. However, that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. And if it goes on like that, then in the role of stepmom, what's your choice? You can keep beating that horse, right? Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. Mm-hmm. Set some limits, set some boundaries around your interactions if there's a consistent gaslighting message, if there's a consistent way that you're being minimized. But that would be true for any kind of disrespect and abuse in a relationship in a family.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that, is there a difference between just like lying about something and gaslighting?
There is. There is. If you say to me, we're supposed to meet on a Zoom at, 1 o'clock? And I get here and it's 1:30. And you say, where were you? Glad to see you, Dr. Stern, but where are you? And I say, what do you mean we were supposed to meet at 1:30? We had a 1:30 appointment. And you say, no, we didn't. I say, that's what I wrote in my book. And I am not really myself, but somebody who's lying to you. And I wrote the right thing down, but now I'm telling you the wrong thing because I don't want to get caught as showing up a half hour late. Probably could have thought of a better example in a family. There's a lie that I'm telling you because I don't want to own up to something. If I do that over time, and I insist over time, then it becomes that kind of gaslighting mm-hmm. because I'm forcing you to take a look by insisting, forcing you to take a look at, well, wait a minute, is that really true? Maybe I got it wrong. Mm-hmm. But if it's kind of a one-time thing, that didn't happen. I never made that appointment. I didn't make the commitment to see you then. The gaslighting piece of it would be, you always do this to me. Mm-hmm. You always do this. You never remember anything. You can't remember anything. Even Dad says that about you. Mm. You know, it's always interesting to pull in the other family member to support your gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. So it's making someone question their reality about themselves.
That's right. In the mildest stage of gaslighting, making someone question what they said or what they did. In the more serious stages of gaslighting, it's making somebody question who they are. Well, you don't really care about me, do you? Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's not just that you said that you were going to show up and, or I thought you were going to show up and you say you never even knew about the appointment. It's that, like, obviously you don't really care about me. Because mm-hmm. if you really cared about me, you would have made sure to know when I had that appointment. You would have made sure to be there.
Yeah, there's so much talk about gaslighting online right now mm-hmm. and words like gaslighting and trauma. Mm-hmm. And it's great because I think everyone's kind of being more informed. But do you think there's any, you know, backside of this, of them being kind of like the buzzwords?
Of course there is. Because even though, as you're saying, it demystifies and gives you permission to use words like that and even to know about words, you can name it. Once you can name it, you can address it, whether it's something that's trauma that you've experienced or are experiencing or gaslighting or anything else that is overused and is a kind of therapy word or behavior in relationship word. But the danger is that everything is gaslighting. You're gaslighting me. No, you don't agree with me. You're gaslighting me. Or I don't agree with you. You say to me, you're gaslighting me.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the difference between having situations where, and I'm sure you've dealt with this in your practice, because different people can experience the same situations in different ways based on their lens, right? You know, there's the book, it's called No One's the Bitch or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was written by an ex-wife and the stepmom. And they recall meeting in different situations. And they recall what it was like the first time they met each other, or there was an incident in a entranceway. And their recollection of that very same event is very different. Mm-hmm. So how do you differentiate between just different lenses and people seeing things based on their own insecurities and their own stories and all of that versus someone who's gaslighting another person?
Well, it depends on who the you is in that question. Like if you're the therapist, you may say, well, actually, when she said X, Y, Z, what did you feel? And you begin to unpack that so that you're having a different kind of communication. But if you're asking what's the objective reality, like how can you get there? When two people are steeped in their subjective experience, there is no objective reality for them. You know, it's not the same thing as here. You know, you can have my mug and you say that I didn't offer you the mug, but then somebody's watching and saying, well, yeah, she did. She offered you the mug. Right? That's very different than my saying, you know, you were out to hurt me. And you're saying, you were out to hurt me. but you undermine me there. No, I didn't. I just asked you a question.
Mm-hmm. So if you have someone who's in that situation, who's dealing with that or feeling like their experience is being minimized, what would you suggest for them? Going to therapy and talking that through? Is there any way, anything that they can do in their own relationships to try to mitigate that, I guess?
Well, I would suggest that if somebody is feeling that someone else in their family or anywhere else is trying to hurt them or undermine them, as long as it's safe to confront the person, and what I mean by confront is to have a conversation, then have that conversation. You know, every time I ask you a question about anything, you turn it into something about me, like you tell me I'm too sensitive or I'm too paranoid or that I am intrusive. I just want to get to know you, and I'm not trying to be intrusive, but I hear that my questions aren't making you comfortable, but your responses aren't making me comfortable either, because you're telling me there's something wrong with me. Can we talk about this? Sometimes you can even say, I feel like you're gaslighting me, that every time I say something to you, you're twisting it into something about me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ask you, hey, where were you last night? And you say to me, you're so paranoid. Well, maybe I am paranoid, but probably you had a hand in that. And also, I still don't know where you were last night.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that's a very common one that I see between couples. I can't reach you at your office. Come on. You've got to be kidding me. You're so paranoid. Like, what's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
Or even with kids and parents. I called you on your cell phone. I never got the phone call. You didn't call me. You're just making it up. Why do you need to know where I am? Why are you so paranoid? I'm 18 years old, or I'm 25 years old. Okay, but you just moved into our home, and I like to know where you are. No, sorry, too paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, I can't deal with her. She's so paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is helpful.
So you can have a conversation with the person, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it's never okay for somebody to be mean to you and to be cruel to you. And so if it's not good for you to allow, that's not the greatest language on my part, but you don't have to allow someone to treat you badly. You may, if it's a family member, have to see them because it's important to your husband, it's important to your larger family that you appear on Thanksgiving together. It's kind of interesting for us to be having this conversation right before the holidays. I'm just writing an article now on how to survive the holidays without being gaslighted. I'll send you that resource for your...
Yeah, thank you.
So it's never okay to allow someone to hurt you. And you can move away from that. You can say, you know what? It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've tried to talk to you about this and I'm really sorry. And I want us to be good family members, but I'm going to sit next to my brother this Thanksgiving, or, you know, I'm going to say no to that invitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is okay.
Yeah, it's very okay. It may not be popular with some of the other members of your family, but it's definitely okay. And it's definitely better, ultimately, for the family system, for people not to be mistreating each other.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen that quote, there's stuff that goes around, like around this time of year. Like when you think about how healed you are, just go home and see your family or spend a weekend with your family. And, you know, all of those old right. triggers and those, you know, experiences come back. And I think it is really common for our parents and even in-laws to gaslight your experience and to minimize yeah. your experience. And it just kind of popped in my head thinking about a lot of the stepmoms who come in and they're trying to form this relationship with their new in-laws, and maybe their in-laws are still having that relationship with the ex
yeah.
and they're trying to share how they're feeling about that. And then it becomes that they're the bad guy and they're wrong. And there's just so many different dynamics, right?
Yeah. I remember a client told me that she went out to lunch with her new husband and his daughter. And she was trying to get to know her and asked her a lot of questions about her dating life and was really feeling great about the interaction and thought maybe the daughter was a little shy. Well, the report back was that she was intrusive, invasive, and that the daughter never wanted to see her again in an alone context. And she was really hurt about it. And her husband at the time took her daughter's position and said, well, you realize that you were intrusive. And she said, I didn't mean to be intrusive. I was just asking her, are you dating? How's your life going? And that was my bid to get to know her. And he kept insisting that she was intrusive. And she came to therapy saying, I never thought of myself as intrusive. I'm curious, I'm interested, but I don't even know how to express my interest unless I'm asking a question. Mm-hmm. So she started to feel bad about their relationship and that triangle from the very beginning of her new marriage. And it colored her relationship with her husband and his daughter for the duration of their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Did the marriage end?
The marriage ended.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing. I've been thinking a lot about that. You really do need for a successful stepfamily life or a successful second marriage when kids are involved, a supportive partner mm-hmm. who has your back and who listens to you and hears the different perspectives and hears the different sides. And obviously they have to be supportive of their kids, but just to not tolerate any disrespect or any storytelling, really.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I think can be very effective, and I definitely share it with people all the time, is the power of pausing, the power of collecting yourself before you get into a conversation about all this stuff, especially where there has been miscommunication. So bring yourself to a place where you can actually have a conversation and leave your emotions out. You can say what they are, but leave the intensity or just hold it in a different way. Because I do think that most things are discussable. Most things can be put out there in a way where you can talk about them. But if you're coming into the conversation feeling like you can't stand the person you're talking about, or you're furious because this happened with your husband's child, and he's not having your back, it's going to be hard to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then what? Then you're left with the bad feelings. Your spouse is left with the bad feelings. At some point, it's going to come up again. At some point, it will happen again, unless the dynamic shifts. Mm-hmm. And there's tremendous power in simply putting your feelings out there. You know, like this. Hey, when I suggested this thing, your daughter really shut me down, but shut me down in a way that maybe she didn't intend it, but it really landed on me like tremendous put down. And I just need you to know that. Like, how can we have that interaction and not, like, we couldn't have that interaction without my feeling mm-hmm. less comfortable with her, without her feeling less comfortable. So how do we avoid that interaction in the future? Can you help?
Yeah, that's a good thing. Can you help? Right? How can you help me mm-hmm. with this?
Yeah.
When I talk to stepmoms who are struggling to communicate with their partners about what's going on, I always recommend having this disclaimer. It's like, I don't need you to agree with how I'm experiencing things right now. I need mm-hmm. you to respect that this is how I'm experiencing things. Mm-hmm. And going in, I find with that disclaimer, it's made a huge strides in my mm-hmm. marriage. It just puts you in a position to be a little more empathetic mm-hmm. and understand that everyone can experience the same situation in different ways, mm-hmm. but also valuing everyone's experience, right? And understanding if her feelings were hurt, maybe you didn't intend it, or maybe you did intend it, mm-hmm. that's still their experience. And I think that needs to be valid.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I do think that's wonderful advice. And also, I can see where the gaslighting can come directly from that.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course you experienced it that way because you're so sensitive. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, maybe you are sensitive, but you still experienced it that way. And you're still entitled to be respected for that experience. And a lot of women would just shut down after that. Well, of course. Yes, of course I respect that. But the reason you're having that experience is because there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm.
I never understood the difference or the value in investing in good sheets for your bed until I started sleeping in Cozy Earth's bamboo sheets. They are literally unreal. It is such a different experience. And for the last several months, I have had this urge to freshen up our bedroom with new sheets and a more clean vibe and just a fresh vibe. And I've been looking for the perfect quilt to go at the end of our bed. And Cozy Earth pulled through again. I finally found the perfect one. So I got a new crisp white duvet cover, new sheets, and a quilt, and it really is looking good. Guys, you can feel the difference with their best-selling bamboo sheets made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. They are temperature regulating, which is key, because if you know, you know. They are so freaking soft and have this oversized fit and a gentle drape, which I appreciate because it drives me wild when sheets or duvet covers aren't big enough for the bed. Like, you can see the sides peeking out. I seriously hate that. So these sheets go right to the bottom. They're very deep. It just looks so good. And they get softer with every wash. For the quilt, I ended up getting the linen box quilt. I got the natural color. You know I love my neutrals. And it is woven from the finest blend of bamboo viscose and French flax linen. The quilt's texture and breathability, it's so soft and it is perfect for year round, which I love because I like to keep things simple and I don't want to be switching out my sheets or switching out my bedding for winter or spring or summer. I just want to have it work all year round. So guys, it is looking good. It is so beautiful. Cozy Earth has been a long-term sponsor of the podcast and I have been sleeping in their sheets. I have been wearing their PJs and their loungewear for years. They are so comfortable and it's no wonder they have been on Oprah's Favorite Things year after year. And I'm pretty sure that I just saw Kim Kardashian wearing their PJs on Instagram. I've had listeners reach out and tell me that they got themselves some Cozy Earth after listening to the podcast, and they too are obsessed. So Cozy Earth generously gives listeners of the Kick-Ass Stepmom podcast 40% off your order. So all you have to do is use the code COZYJAMIE40 at checkout and get 40%, which is crazy. Such a great discount. So head to www.cozyearth.com, use the code COZYJAMIE40 for 40% off. So then what? Like, what are women supposed to do if they're like, okay, this keeps happening. My experience is continuing to be minimized. Like, how do you support them in that process, getting out of that cycle?
So one, it depends. And sometimes you won't get out of that cycle. You just simply have to take some distance and limit your interactions and have a conversation more with yourself than with your spouse, knowing that it's not likely to change. Hopefully that is going to be someone else's experience, but not yours. Hopefully you can make inroads by having those conversations that are not emotionally loaded at a time where you're not so hot with emotion. Hopefully you can help your partner to see that there are different ways to experience it. And you don't experience it in the way his daughter does or his son does. And you want to be respected for your experience. And at the end of the day, no matter what, you don't want to be mistreated. You don't want to be spoken to in a disrespectful way. You don't want to be put down. And I think whether or not someone's right or wrong is much less important than the way you're making each other feel. So if you can approach your spouse in that way, I think that maybe you can get an agreement sooner than, well, I'm right and your child is wrong. Like, I don't want to feel like this. And neither does your child. So can you help? Can you have my back? I can't tell you how many times people come and say, he just didn't have my back. Like, I can't tolerate it if he doesn't have my back. And just letting your partner know how important it is for him to stand with you, and not because you're right, but because you don't deserve to be disrespected.
I love that. How do you recommend that people express that to their partner who they feel like is minimizing their experience?
Just like that.
Just the importance of that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's key in all relationships, but especially important in blended families.
Right. And one of the things that I think that has been really helpful to me in resolving issues in my blended family is to put yourself in a place of really seeing the situation from the lens of the kid, the child, even if the child is an adult child. And I understand it's hard to take on a new person. I understand I am in the way of what your typical relationship was. I understand that we're living in the house that you used to live in. with your ex-spouse. Whatever it is that you think or have been told is possibly the reason that you're in the way of them having the wife they used to have. It's actually true, and it's okay. Because the two adults, meaning you and your husband, or you and your significant other, have chosen this new way of being. You didn't consult the children, probably. Mm-hmm. And even if you did tell them beforehand, it wasn't their decision, it was yours. So you've made a change in your relationship that impacts everybody. And healthy adult children will be ecstatic for your happiness and maybe have some issues about sadness that, well, I mean, just as an example from my own life, my kids are very, very happy for me and they really like my husband. And yet they both have expressed, you know, we used to have dinner together more often, just you and me. Can we do that? But there's a difference between expressing that and, I mean, I would be horrified if then they were trying to gaslight my husband or tell me bad things about my husband just because he's now a priority for me in a way that there was no one else who was a priority mm-hmm. besides them, who were always my priorities.
Yeah. And so were your husband's kids, well, are they adults as well?
They are adults
right.
as well. And it was difficult in ways, not necessarily because of anything other than what I just described, that there were and are things that happened logistically where I moved into his home that used to be their home. Mm-hmm. And does that change things? Of course it does for everyone. And I know that I'm not alone in feeling that when you move into someone else's home, that the people who used to occupy that home have feelings about it. It's just completely natural. Mm-hmm. And so without attention in a positive way to that, it can be very difficult. Mm-hmm. And without my understanding that they're right, things have changed, right? I'm thinking about another couple I work with and also a friend of mine whose husband wanted her to insist nothing was different after they got married and she moved into their home. Nothing was different. We still have the holidays together. You're still invited over once a week. Nothing's different, but everything was different because there was a new person there. Because instead of being able to just drop by the house whenever they wanted because mom and dad lived there, suddenly they had to make a phone call or felt they had to make a phone call. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that they weren't wanted, but maybe they weren't wanted that minute. Whereas with mom and dad, they felt like they could come whenever they wanted. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying there's power in naming and identifying the changes and what's actually going on for the kids.
There's power in naming and there's power in compassion. There's power in knowing as you walk into that relationship as stepmom that you are going to deal with stuff. And especially if there are any issues about personality or just stages of life that you meet each other in or the circumstance of the end of the last marriage, who left who and was there a death and you know things like that all play in. So if you can put yourself in the position of compassion, and believe me, not suggesting that because you're compassionate that you should allow yourself to be mistreated, no. But it might help you to come to a conversation with your spouse in a different way. Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of stepmoms say that their partner in heterosexual marriages, they want to pretend everything is the same. Like, do you think that's a man thing? You know, it's almost like just kind of slotting this new woman into the role, right? Like everything's still the mm-hmm. same. The traditions are still the same. They want the stepmom to be there for everything that the mom would be there for.
Right.
Just keeping everything, you know, yeah, being slotted into that role.
Yeah.
I hear that so often and I wonder.
I hear it so often also.
Yeah. What that's about or why the men are reluctant to acknowledge the change.
Hard to deal with. I mean, we just spent an hour talking about how hard it is to deal with it.
True.
Right. And women, you know, I know this is a big generalization, but we're better at it.
We're better at a lot of things. Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
It's so true. Right?
Yeah, it is true.
Especially those things that are about complicated feelings. Because we had sleepovers with our girlfriends and spent hours talking about relationships. And I know things are changing, and certainly even my work at Yale is all about educating boys and girls from the earliest of ages and mm-hmm. about dealing with emotions so that we could all be better at naming and regulating, expressing our emotions. But we're not quite there yet. And most of the people who are listening to this podcast didn't have that while they were going to school. And I do think if you've liked your life before and you've liked your traditions, it's more comfortable. Let's just continue on. And there's just a new person in that seat. But it's certainly not like that for the children.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Well, I could talk to you forever. You have such a great perspective. And I love talking to experts in the space who also have the lens of the blended family dynamic, because it is different, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot more complexity to this.
Yeah. And I do think there's something that is very crazy making for women when the men insist on it doesn't have to feel so different. You know, we're just going to live the same life and tell the kids, you know, we're just, everything's the same. It's very crazy making because it isn't the same.
Mm-hmm. It isn't the same. And then it leaves the women feeling guilty that they don't feel like it's the same or can't make it the same or can't show up in the way that their partner wants them to show up in when they have all of these feelings and these emotions, because it's not the same.
Or guilty, or sometimes simply unseen. Like, I'm not just a plug-in. I'm actually a whole person with a different set of values and a different set of mm-hmm. preferences and a different set of expectations from children.
I'm not just a plug-in. That's good.
And, you know, I've heard from people that they are horrified when their husband's kids come to the dinner table. And just as a silly example, in one case, somebody told me that husband's kids come to the table and they're barefoot. Even if they just took a walk in the park, they're barefoot. And she came to a table on a holiday dressed. Everyone in her family is dressed. And when she began to express her difference, it was really very unpopular mm-hmm. on the whole table.
Well, different values and different traditions and different ways of doing things.
And then do you have a right to expect that your new family will respect your way of doing things? Or do you have to accommodate or feel the pressure to accommodate to the old way of being mm-hmm. in the family?
Or do you come together and try to find a way to meet halfway? I don't know.
Ideally, you do.
Ideally,
you do. Yeah. And there are times where sitting around a table and saying, I know this is difficult. The way you're feeling, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. You have every right to your feelings. And those can be very successful conversations. I've had them. I can tell you they're difficult and they can be successful. Successful meaning not that you're changing people's feelings, but that you say, I see you. You know, and I'd like you to see me too. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're not going to do anything differently, but maybe it will lead to something that's different in the future.
That's really powerful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
I'm so glad we finally got this together.
Yes. I'm going to have to get you back on. I could talk to you forever.
I'd love to. I'm living it.
Right. And you know what? The adult stepchildren thing. I get a lot of questions about that because, you know, you have people in that stage of life who maybe they're not dealing with, you know, the ex-wife at the hockey arena. They're dealing with adult children at holidays or, again, moving into that house and things like that. So there's a whole other area where we could dive into.
And we could definitely have a whole hour just about adult children.
Well, okay, there. I'm going to get that scheduled because that is a hot one.
I would love that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I will link your book, link everything. You are such a wealth of knowledge. And thank you what you do for women.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That's it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd be so grateful if you could share it with someone in your life who you think could benefit from it. And if you haven't already left a rating and a review on iTunes, it really is the best way to support the show. And if you're craving more real talk and coaching and community, be sure to check out my membership, the Kickass Stepmom community. Head to www.kickassstepmom.com to learn more.